Good evening, everybody. For some reason, the audio didn't start on time. It's Blog Talk Radio with Jane Hoffman. Here's a little intro while we're still waiting for callers to call in.
Dedicated to Michelangelo Torres. Sunrise, 11/23/92. Sunset, 8/26/13.
They go to daylight and they come to die. Giving in to the darkest light. What a joy we are going to find. Let that light be light. From the beginning, our people have shared all history through colonization. We have been silent, disconnected from our land, torn from cultural traditions, family structures became nuclear. We have always resisted. Our people don't give up. We are human. From Africa, we are all connected. In history, black bodies are neglected. I'm feeling misrepresented. It's up to me to reveal and present it. Forced across salty seas, carried by white crest peaks of greed. Trained with whips, took away my humanity. Spiritual songs brought me into reality. New breed, hybrid indeed. Cross the Mississippi to pursue the Cali dream. One generation eager to assimilate, still treated differently, still face hate. I compete so my family can eat. With the children of the sun my eyes meet. I am black, he is brown. What's the difference? Not even our complexion connected in resistance. Untold story.
Been said.
Untold story.
Not dead.
Untold story.
Live through.
Untold story.
It's you.
Untold story.
Been said.
Untold story.
Not dead.
Untold story.
Live through.
Untold story.
It's you. Digging through the roots of my ancestry. Then I read the book of my history. Calling me a sick, but they don't know me. Native to the land they refuse to see. Invasion of a continent, 1492. European ways cut into the land and the people. Bringing separation, not civilization, for hate and devastation. Out of disaster, my people are born. Forcefully the master, internally torn. 1821, to say I am free from my caste system that still affects me. Runaway slaves, settled in this land. Born in 1849, it gets to the end. Jim Crow laws create segregation. The brown-black struggle, reunification.
Untold story.
Been said.
Untold story.
Not dead.
Untold story.
Live through.
Untold story.
It's you.
Untold story.
Been said.
Untold story.
Not dead.
Untold story.
Live through.
Untold story. Gold seeker, settled in Negro bar, free from chains and whips, but I'm scarred. These lacerations penetrated my skin, black code, trying to have me give in. 1896, separate but equal, promised reparations, oppression for my people. Continued legally until the Civil Rights Act, enough is enough, yelling proud to be black.
1910, there is mass migration, war in my land, so I go to the nation. For the dreams, but they exploit me. Zoot, zoot, riots, 1943, I take another stand. 1968, join the Black Hearts, set the record straight. No longer separated, physically or mentally. Inside a guarantee, now what you wanna see?
I'm so sorry.
Been said.
Untold story.
Not dead.
Untold story.
Live through.
Untold story.
It's you.
Untold story.
Been said.
Untold story.
Not dead.
Untold story.
Live through.
Untold story.
It's you.
Okay, that was an introductory song, and I'm pulling John and Daniel in now. It was called Untold Stories. Welcome to the show, Daniel and John. Let's introduce Daniel first. We're featuring Hi, Daniel.
How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you well. Did that sound song clear to both of you?
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Okay, I cued it for the show. John, this John is my new co-host. He's been with me about 6 months, and he's a professional musician in Santa Monica. He's played at the Whiskey a Go-Go at least twice. John, introduce yourself to Daniel.
Hey, Big D, how's it going on a Sunday?
How's it going, man? I'm doing well.
Well, I had talked to Jane a little bit before the show, and from what I hear, you're not the prototypical rapper. I've been in rock bands all my life, and you know, there's been sometimes this divide, like the rockers are like, you know, rappers aren't really musicians, and they don't really have music, they don't have harmonies, they don't, you know, even the drums aren't even real, so there's nothing real about it. And then, you know, Run DMC, when they kind of converged with Aerosmith and did, you know, Walk This Way, it broke down a lot of walls for a lot of people, it's just like MC Hammer did and Blondie with the song Rapture, you know, introducing, you know, a different flavor to white people, vanilla white kids. But the funny thing is, in working with a lot of rap groups in different projects, because rap suddenly took over, where every song we have to have a rapper in there, and all the rappers didn't have cars, didn't have jobs, always were like 2 hours late because their girlfriend couldn't get them to practice until then, and then I hear you have a job, you have a life.
and
you're not black. And you're not black.
I told John not to be stereotypical because he's half Latino himself.
Yes. My peeps. So, but it was really...
Why don't we let Daniel talk about that song, Untold Stories, and then he can give us a short background.
I told John about you
writing your family's biography and your uncle who died in downtown LA and stuff like that.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me again, Jaina. It's a pleasure coming back to the show. I definitely want to respond to a lot of the stuff that you said. I'm not the prototypical rapper, like you said. I don't even consider myself a rapper. I consider myself an artist. I'm an educator as well. I'm an activist as well, and I'm able to put all these three things together and create this artistry, that's what I do.
And you can sing too, and you know you're very musical. Like that's the thing, you're just not like throwing a beat and yelling angry poetry, which is okay. I mean, as a musician, I'm going, this is really good stuff.
Thank you. Yes,
John listened to Divine Light earlier today. I played it for him.
That's cool. Thank you.
And we will play it at the midpoint in the show. Our new show is only 45 minutes long. So, Daniel, you wanted to talk about your journey, of your political, emotional journey into music, but you can also talk about your background, like where it stemmed from.
I was interested in, like, with a lot of us, there's the first time where you performed or where you heard a song that changed your life or it altered your trajectory, and you began to, you know, like maybe as a particular artist or a particular rap or song, and, you know, how did it inspire you? You know, some guys is with their first girlfriend, other people is just, you know, discovering life, you know, coming of age, getting away from your parents' music, and discovering your own voice. So it'd be interesting to hear your journey, how it all came about.
Most definitely. For me, I was politicized at a very young age. I was about 15, 16 years old when I was politicized. So I was constantly reading books, you know, that were not offered to me in high school. So I was able to learn about my history as a teenager. And when I began to rap music, for me, it was a way of releasing my stress, or if I wasn't able to express something to my parents or my friends or whatnot, that's where I would put it down. And that's how my journey began, really, just putting, like I said, thoughts on paper. Essentially, I began to just, like, you know, do it over time. And then when I was about 20, I recorded my first song in the studio. And then I recorded that song with my older brother, who is no longer working with me, but he was definitely a big influence. My first show, I was about 21, and ever since, I've been performing and recording music. And as far as my music having a political more political content, it's my roots, you know. That's where I started as well. But I think I'm going back to that because with everything that's going on today, and I feel like I said, I mean, I'm not just I don't consider myself a rapper. I'm an educator as well. I actually do teach, and I teach a rhythm and poetry class, right? It's rap. That's what I teach. So I'm teaching kids how to write music while also expressing their feelings and thoughts. So I put all these three, things that I have, and I put them together. And for me, one of the ways to express myself is through music. And singing, my father, I grew up seeing my father sing all the time. And so I think it's in the family as well, you know. I just recently started
really?
To sing, you know.
What did your father sing? Did he just hum a bar here and there, or what did?
Well, my dad wasn't rapping, obviously, but stuff that he grew up with, right? Mainly Spanish music, but
was there any traditional people that influenced you, like Richie Valens or that? Writers.
Were there any mariachis in the closet growing up?
Daniel and I had a good mariachi singer at San Fernando High School. I don't know if you remember her, Daniel, but she played she sang at one of the events at San Fernando Middle School, but I don't remember her name.
I don't remember her name either. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. But we didn't have any mariachis in our family. But
go ahead.
I did play.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Jane? Maybe we're losing Jane. One thing with music, you know, it's a great way to express yourself. And when in dealing with music, you know, there was always this thing with us rockers or pop rockers or hard rockers, you know, we'd encounter someone that raps or that works with the genre, and it was, you know, there's always this kind of almost resentment. It's like they're not real. And one thing I've really tried to communicate with people I work with is like music is just communication. It's just communicating what you feel and trying to in a way that other people can feel it and respond to it. And that if someone, you know, if I'm doing a rock song and 100 people, you know, watch my YouTube video, and you got another guy who's rapping and he's or doing hip hop and he's got, you know, 8 million people, you know, listening, he's communicating better than I am. Like I need to learn how he's communicating instead of bagging or, you know, criticizing. Like learn.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of other factors.
You guys?
Yes.
I lost the audio on my main line, so I had to call in on my cell phone.
You know, you're reverberating like you're coming in from Mars. So
exactly.
It's a cool effect, but it's kind of the thing with you want to be able to engage your audience, and I know it like with music, it crosses the color lines. I have a friend that's in prison, and you know, in prison, it's like the two groups that don't get along are Mexicans and blacks. And you think the minorities would get together to work together, but it's not the white folks. It's the Mexicans and the blacks in prison that have a hard time communicating. And it's cool to see music kind of try to build a bridge, you know, if we'll let it.
That's a good point you bring up, and that's definitely an intention that I have with my music. The artist that I work with on that song, you know, she's black, identifies as black. And I, even though I am Latino as well, I'm very conscious about my ancestry and my genetic makeup. And, I'm actually European, Native American, and also African. I do have some African ancestry. But I want to bring that connection, and I want to build that bridge between our communities. I work in South Central right now, and there's, you know, the tension is there. Some of the kids. It's how to communicate, you know. And for me, also, as a historian, I'm able to do that, you know, with the people that I come across. And, again, the music, that was the intention with that song, to share the you know, things we have in common, the black and Latino community. But yeah, man, it's definitely something I'm definitely aware of growing up here in my neighborhood as well.
Do your students?
You know, I'm South Central is almost 50% Latino now. What do your students write about in the poetry and writing class?
It varies, Jane. There's a lot of things that they write about. I mean, for them, it's not necessarily that. It's just I work with little ones as well. So I think for them, it's just allowing them to get that skill, right? I don't expect them to write something crazy, something that's gonna, you know, blow an audience. I think for me, it's just getting them to understand that they can actually create something. And just like myself, I remember when I began writing, for me, it was just comical. And because I didn't really know the art form very well, you know, I needed to study other artists, you know. And for them, there is some kids who will definitely get into it, but it varies, you know. They talk about...
Yeah, I was just wondering if they wrote things more positive or only think about violence and negativity.
What was that, Jane?
Well, I was going to say...
Do they write more personal things, or do they write things about violence and negativity all the time?
I think for them, it's definitely more personal when they really, really, you know, dig deep into themselves. And I've noticed that. So, yeah.
I think, too, with
okay,
the...
It's already 10:14, so I'm going to play Divine Light. Everybody take a breather, and we'll pick up where we left off.
Okay.
Dedicated to
There's a problem with that audio.
Right, I was gonna say actually that's a cool effect if we could use it on an album. Maybe Jane, you could say, come out with your hands above your head, because you've got that megaphone announcer, kind of like you're in a stadium kind of thing. But what I was going to say, you know, with the education of people, I think it's really powerful what you're doing, teaching people how to express themselves and communicate their emotions, because people hold in these emotions, they don't have an outlet for it. And they resort to other areas to relieve themselves. You know, it's not through laughter, it's not through art. They do it through drugs, and they do it through alcohol. And you even see some of these artists, you know, you take like Elvis, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, Robin Williams, and you have people of great artistic ability, you know, phenomenal, expressing themselves, and then they get so successful, and suddenly, once they leave the stage, they start resorting to chemical abuse and to get that same high. And instead of staying in their art, staying in their music, their poetry, their writing, and really growing or expressing themselves that way, they start to escape and they lose themselves. It's just like it's a tragic thing. So the fact that you're educating people to tap into that and self-entertain themselves, it's just amazing. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's just making them aware. You know, like some of these kids are just natural. You know, pretty much what I do is I just show them how to rhyme in the beginning.
Right.
And the way I learned it, the way I was able to, you know, to write my bars, I show them that, and then from there, you see some of these kids just pick it up really, really fast. And the goal of the class is for them to create at least one song, and hopefully they can also perform the song. And we have a recording studio there where I work, so that's the next goal, is to have them just come out of the show and actually record the stuff that they wrote. I haven't gotten there yet, but that is definitely the goal. And there is some kids who definitely have potential when it comes to that. I know
for myself that music brought me closer to God. Or in other words, I've never listened to a song that someone didn't write never, you know, heard a composition that someone didn't create or orchestrate. And to me, life is like music. It has a beginning. It has an end.
Yes.
It has a verse which talks about or explains our situation, and it has a chorus or a rally theme that you repeat through. It's almost like a mantra, and it helps you get through whatever you're going through. It has a bridge, and it always, you know, if it's a good song, it builds to a climax and the finale, and, you know, something when you're done, you want to stand up and applaud. You want to say yes. You know, it captures that emotion. So to me, music is reminding me that in life, God created everything. And God, and like if you, sometimes songs almost write themselves, and if you try to put in it in the wrong chord, or, you know, you have a note that's off, you can tell. It brings you into perfection.
Well,
or
speaking of which, before I play Divine Light,
can you
tell
me
about
this
person
who
died
that
you dedicated the song to?
What was your question, Jane? I can't understand you with the echo.
Yeah,
like a...
if I hit... This phone is off. It's doing very poorly.
Yes.
Who is Michael Torres?
Oh, that is my cousin who was diagnosed with cancer about, I want to say, 5 years ago. And I don't know if you remember, Jane, I grew my hair out last time, and I'm actually doing it again because I'm going to donate my hair. So he was the inspiration behind that song. And, you know, when they were talking about God, I feel like, because I was actually diagnosed with a disease last year too, around the same time where he passed away.
Wow.
And for me, like, at no moment did I ever feel like I was, you know, like I'd given up hope. And Michael represents that, because Michael, you know, although he was sick, he never complained, at least not in front of us. He was always joking.
Right.
And that's why and he represents that.
Okay, let's play the song.
Okay.
You want to play sometime? 11:49:92.
Let that fire.
it's not endless.
Keep on sitting on my clock. My alarm's ticking. You just don't have to stop. Going TikTok. Every time faster. Learn to accept you on your own. Can't stop time. But check it for your attitude. And never do it. You want to watch it, it's up to be a story. You rely on that pleasure, you want to buy voices. Everything is prepared for a challenge. I mean, I want to watch it, we'll bring the damage. Because we promise you, we're going to be the same. As long as you're ready, no, we'll watch what we're going to do. We're going to watch what we're going to do.
I want to ask you guys something, and I'm sorry that I hung up.
Go for it. I will say this.
Did you guys, was I playing two songs at once?
What's happening is with the phone, it's kind of given about a 200 millisecond delay. If it was about a 80 millisecond delay, it'd have this cool chorus effect, and it would be really trippy. But it's just outside of the stretch of it makes it hard to follow because the delay part is louder than the original signal, so it's a little stronger than it. But one thing I wanted to ask you, like in L.A. It's to me, I always tell people the last several years, it's going to be a brown town eventually. Like, we're the Latino community is the only population that's really growing.
Yeah.
And the only problem is we're not organized well. We don't educate well. We've been here several generations. And you see cultures like Jews come in, they organize. They, the black community in general, with the leadership, it's pretty well organized, when they want to voice something. When they want to voice a complaint or protest, they're very well organized. The Hispanic community, not so much. And I've seen it like in our churches. It's like we have kids that are 25, 26. They're still at home, which is cool, but they're on like a 10 to 15 year education program. They don't have cars. They don't have bank accounts. They're not self-sufficient. They don't have any credit. They're not ready in any way to be an adult, to integrate into society. And it's almost like even in the church we kind of cater to this. It's like other cultures are like, by the time you're 22, 24, it's like they're finishing their education.
Yeah, but
going,
John, you're only being exposed to people in the church.
I
met plenty of
first
and second
generation
Latinos
who
were
attending
Cal
State
Northridge.
Well, in the churches I've been on, it just hasn't been like that. But maybe you were at a church that really stressed or had a good foundation. I think with Daniel, what you're doing is helping educate people to learn how to work their music and how to integrate it. And is that a challenge with today's kids? Are they kind of on par or on time, or are they behind the curve?
It's definitely a challenge, and there's a number of factors when it comes to that. I mean, this is a problem that roots back to the colonial times in Latin America. We've been divided since 1492. And because of that, there is no unification in our communities. Colorism also affects the Latino community, and that's a factor that plays into that. Socioeconomic status, and I think the fact that we keep on having, more immigrants come, we can't really unite as a community because, the black community, you don't have that, you don't have immigrants coming in, so you have people who identify as American, right?
Right.
With the Latino community, you don't really have that, so it's hard to really, just in a couple of generations with Latinos, they'll either identify as American or the country of the origin.
That's a good point, because if someone comes, say, from Africa or Europe or Asia, they've had to, usually it's a more richer families, they've had to put together the money to get a plane ticket. The kids have to have grades, and they have to get accepted. Where the richest people and smartest people from Mexico or from El Salvador or Guatemala, they're not crossing the border. They're just people that want to get over here and kind of get some kind of work, a little bit more money, but they're not really seeking the American way, or they're not highly, they're not seeking a higher education. They're just trying to survive. So you're right.
And I'm telling you, it goes back to colonial times. Those folks who are in power in Mexico are descendants of the conquistadores, you know, in Mexico.
Right, the Spaniards.
A lot of them, you know. Yeah, so it's like, you know, Latinos are so diverse.
Right, because it's like people say, I've had people, you know, say seriously, it's like, you know, hey, he speaks Mexican. It's like, no, he speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
We don't even have our own language.
I mean,
it's a matter of opportunity. Because we had an El Salvadoran family at our church at Francis of Beverly Hills. And there was a rich guy, and the mother was a secretary in our church, and she got paid $50,000 a year just for pencil pushing. She only worked 30 hours a week, and she got a good salary because
they wanted to set up a foundation. She also, you know, I'm not saying she didn't work for it. She went to her work, but her kids ended up going to really crappy schools in LA, and now one of the Salvadoran daughters is a principal at the Green Dot School, and the other one is in fashion and design in New York City.
So it just depends on the family too, you know, the motivation. I think, anyways, I'm playing Divine Light at the end of the show, but I'm playing through my media player next time. I think what Jane wants to say is how can we hear more of your music and contact you, or do you have a website or email or any information you can give out? I definitely would like to get in contact with you, and you know, like, are you playing places? Or how are you networking your music? Is it mainly teaching, you know, et cetera?
Right now, I haven't played in a good while actually, but I'm definitely getting myself back on track. I'm working on a couple more songs. Definitely expect some more stuff out of me pretty soon. Another music video, hopefully.
Oh, great. Do you have a YouTube video?
Yeah, actually, the song "Divine Light" actually has a video to it. If you go to my channel, it's just my first and my last name, Daniel Sendejas, and you go to my playlist, you'll find the song "Divine Light." Yeah, like I said, I'm definitely working on some more stuff, and that's where I'm at right now. I don't have any shows coming up now anytime soon, but I'll definitely keep Jane posted, you know. And
he does have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, so it's on my YouTube channel. The I have a couple of songs in there. If you want to check them out, actually.
That would be awesome, and I think just the fact that you're teaching.
I'm using Lauren's phone now, and it's giving me just as much problems.
Yes, we. Go ahead.
Daniel's professional video flow featuring Brittany Green, Divine Light, is on a channel called Descent TV, D-S-E-N-T-V.
Descent
yes.
V. Maybe it's Descent Videos. I don't know. But he also has his own channel. Daniel, what's the name of your YouTube channel?
It's just my first and my last name. Daniel Sendejas. C-E-N-D-E-J-A-Z.
By the way, there's another Latino group named Flo on YouTube.
Were you familiar
with
that,
Daniel?
I'm pretty sure a lot of folks have that name. You know?
Yeah,
that's
well...
definitely a common name,
okay.
But, yeah.
Well, let me play this Divine Light and then wrap the show up. We each have about 3 minutes after the audio will be
okay.
Completed.
Okay.
Good.
So
let
me
just
play
this.
Okay.
Dedicated to Michael Anthony Torres. Sunrise. 11:23:92. Sunset. 8:26:13.
You know, Daniel, the one that you gave me was only 24 seconds.
I don't
know
why
he's only playing 24 seconds.
You know what probably happened? I copied for 24 seconds, but it's definitely on there. All you got to do is type in, if you can't find it for whatever reason, type in Flow, featuring Brittany Green.
I'm gonna play the last half of the song now.
Okay.
Time is not endless. We're punching on the clock, biologically speaking. It's all I have to stop. Don't get sick, doc. Every step faster. Learn to accept you all your own men. Can't stop time. But take control your attitude. And everyone is just trying to do that. They really want to be.
Daniel?
Yes.
Those last set of lyrics are really powerful. I really liked it.
Thank you very
about
much.
The biological clock and, make something in your life.
John,
did you pick up on that?
Well, I was going to say...
Do James Boombox sounding audio?
I promise I'm going to step out of the car with my hands above my head. No,
what
I think,
did you hear?
What's so cool is that your music is so good, even with it doubled and with echoing going all over the place, it's still, I could catch, the vibe of your vocals and everything. It's really good groove. And I think, if we can, we'd like to get you back on the show so we can hear everything really clearly, because I think your message is too powerful to, to be ignored. And I think the fact that you're teaching and educating, that's even more, in a way, that's more important, because you can only do so much by yourself. But when you raise an army of people and mentor them, it multiplies your talent exponentially and in ways that you can't even imagine. And a lot of times, musicians or performers, we hoard. We try to keep everything to ourselves and keep people from succeeding. But you're giving your gift and letting it grow. So I think that's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, for me, it'd be very selfish if I didn't share it. And I think for some folks who I've met, to them, sharing it is also it's almost like they're scared to share it because not so much because they don't think their music is good, but I think they feel like they're going to be boasting. And somebody told me once, if you don't share it, you're being selfish because you don't know how this song could change somebody's life.
Right.
You know how that line, like you said right now, Jane said right now, that line is very powerful. So that is also my intention. That song is about healing. The other song was more political. So I definitely have intentions with my songs, and for this song, like I said, I mean, it healed me. It gets me to see, death from a different perspective. You know, Michael still inspires me. You know, like I said, he was definitely an inspiration, and other artists that I worked with, Brittany Greene was a great artist as well. It's just amazing to share what I have, and for people to be able to, you know, to listen to it, and hopefully it heals them like it heals me, you know, if they're going through something similar.
Right.